Well, you can tell today's sermon already, Gideon's Peace. So we're going to be talking about a fellow named Gideon in the Bible. And I'm going to encourage you, if you're able to do so, let's stand. I have a couple verses of scripture that I wanted us to read together today as we would start. Gideon's story begins in Judges chapter 6. So if you want to find that, you can. I'm going to put it on the screen too here, a couple verses we'll read. But if you wanted to go to Judges 6 and go ahead and do that, verse 23 and 24. We're going to actually start in verse 11 when we preach. But for now, we're going to look at verses 23 and verse 24 here. I'd like us as a congregation to read this text together. The Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." Heavenly Father, this is your word for us today. We would pray now that you would take this word and that you would use it powerfully in all of our lives. And I would ask God for a removal of the distractions and worries, fretting, fearing, whatever that is going on in our lives. I pray that you would remove that now, O God, that you'd help us to focus upon the truth of this text and the truth of Gideon's Peace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Congregation can be seated. And as you likely saw from my Facebook introduction in the video this week, I love Gideon. And I was thinking about this, I was reading this in my quiet time and recognizing that we certainly live, and we've talked about this a lot, so it might be getting old, but we live in a time of uncertainty. And we really live in a time that we crave and yearn for peace, and yet there's just really a lack of peace. And oftentimes, even in the midst of what we're doing, we lack a confidence, don't we? And there's an anxiousness, and there's sometimes even a dread and an angst about the things that are going on all around us. And oftentimes, it doesn't seem we have any control over those things. And that's why, for me, Gideon is such an encouragement, because Gideon, you know, he's certainly not a perfect guy. And Gideon has all kinds of stuff going on in his own life, just like you and I, right? And yet Gideon is a wonderful example today of a guy that came to both a peace and a confidence in the Lord. And that's my desire, that we would look a little bit at this beginning example of Gideon, that we would come to experience that same. So that's my theme this week. How do you experience peace and confidence in troubling times? And again, I think we would all say that, yeah, we do live in troubling times. So how do we experience peace and confidence in those times? And I believe Gideon in Judges chapter 6 teaches us what it is to be able to know that peace and confidence. And we would know that by, first of all, observing three truths that we see in this text. Truth number one, the Lord intrudes at any time. Okay, go with me now to Judges chapter 6. Open up the scriptures, follow along in your smartphone, whatever that case is. But notice what happens. The Lord intrudes at any time. And I'm going to start with verse 11, and it says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abarazonite, as the son of Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites." And then verse 12 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" First of all, let us understand what's going on in this text. The book, the whole book of Judges really reflects approximately a 350 to 400 year period between the passing of Saul for the time of the judges then to the time of the kings. And this whole period of time really is, indicated by just a time of poor decisions and people doing right in their own eyes and people struggling with sin and people challenged with idols. And this whole period of time was really a period of relative darkness, just dismay, sadness. All of these things are going on in this time, all right? That's the kind of period that we're in. And it's interesting that in the midst of this, God raises up certain individuals to encourage and to deliver his people, and they're the ones that we would call the judges in this book. And this Judges now, chapter 6 here, we would learn that as Gideon is in the wine press, he's beating out this grain to get some grain. It's interesting because what happens? Who appears to Gideon? It says the angel of the Lord came, and then it said the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now, theologians would refer to that as a theophany. And a theophany is an awesome, magnificent, incredible appearance of God. That's what a theophany is. Now, also, most theologians would talk to you about the idea that whenever the angel of the Lord appears to somebody in the Old Testament, Who do we believe that is? Christ, very good. The pre-incarnate Christ. So when we see this phrase, the angel of the Lord, we would recognize that this is a magnificent appearance of God. We call it a theophany, okay? So this is a very special thing that occurs. So in the course of this time now, there is this theophany. And I want us to say, first of all, that the Lord intrudes in any time, and the Lord's intrusion is always gracious. And what I mean by that is that Gideon and his people had fallen into sin, and that's the cycle of the book of Judges. They fall into a cycle of sin. God brings a people against them. They get into captivity. They cry out to the Lord. God sends a judge. The people repent. And there's just a cycle all the way through the book of Judges of that same way. Now, what's really intriguing about this text, though, is that in this context of Gideon, there is no repentance. We don't read anywhere of here of a repenting of the people turning to the Lord, but rather the Lord intrudes graciously. And I love that idea, that there's no sense here that there wasn't a repentance, there wasn't a coming to faith necessarily, and yet the Lord is gracious to his people. And we would see that in this text. The Lord is gracious as he intrudes, and the Lord is also unexpected when he intrudes. Gideon had no idea that this was coming. He had no time to prepare. He had no time to do anything. But rather, the Lord simply made this appearance, and he sat down and he had this conversation with Gideon. And I love this idea of how this also applies in our lives today, dear friends. When the Lord intrudes in our lives, it's a gracious intrusion. He oftentimes intrudes when it is unexpected. But I will assure you of this, when the Lord intrudes, it is needed. Gideon needed that intrusion. The people needed that intrusion. Why is that? They were living in a very dark and dismal and difficult day. They were under trial and they were under tribulation. There was all kinds of burdens. So we would see here rightly, I believe, that the Lord oftentimes intrudes in the worst of times. And it is all the more in the hardest of situations that we face, in the most difficult seasons of our life, in those very moments that we feel that maybe God is the farthest away, where's he at? He's the closest to us. And I think we need to recognize that today, that Gideon and his people were in that same place. This was a time of great duress, great hardship, great trial, great burden. And yet it was in that very time that God, you see, intruded, and God began to do a work in Gideon's life and in Israel's life as well. So recognize today, dear friends, that God intrudes upon our lives. He intrudes graciously. He intrudes unexpectedly. And he intrudes necessarily, not only in hard times, but I believe this also, that God also intrudes necessarily in easy times as well. And is it not true that sometimes we grow complacent in our ways? And I dare say today, dear friends, that complacency is one of the greatest enemies of excellence. Then we just kind of grow complacent in what we're doing and what we're about. And I believe that God also intrudes in those times in our lives. When he issues us this wake-up call, when we've come to expect things too easily or things are just smooth along, we begin to forget about God, that God oftentimes uses those intrusions as ways of drawing us back to him, both in the hard times as well as in the good times. So God intrudes. And then I think today for us, we sit here and think, okay, Pastor, this is a great story. I love reading about Gideon, but, you know, God doesn't intrude in my life. God hasn't made himself manifested in this theophany in my life. Au contraire. He has, hasn't he? How has the Lord come to us? And I want to observe something else. That Gideon, this is talking about, we'll come back to what he was doing. He was beating out grain to get seed, you know, to eat. And what I find striking about this is that Gideon was just functioning in the normal, everyday operation of life. Gideon was doing nothing special. He was doing nothing extravagant. Gideon was just living his life. And yet it was just in the midst of living his life and the ordinary things of life, what did God do? God intruded. And I would make the case today that even in our ordinary times, ordinary days, ordinary people, that God intrudes and makes himself known in our lives. How does he do that? Hey, right here, this is number one. God speaks to us through his word. So we need to be in his word, don't we? Through prayer, as we would commune with God in prayer. That is the way I believe that God intrudes in our lives. I believe God also intrudes in our lives through the sacraments, baptism and Lord's Supper. God grants to us his grace. Next week, when we commune as a family of faith, we're going to recognize that God himself is in our presence. Christ himself is in our midst. So we would see, therefore, again, these ways that God indeed intrudes at any time of our lives. And I pray today that as we would consider God's intrusions, the Lord's intrusions, that we would recognize the purpose of peace and of confidence in those intrusions. Point number one, real simply, the Lord intrudes at any time. And we see that so clearly in the accounting here of Gideon. Truth number two that I think we need to look to, the Lord calls to something more. The Lord calls to something more. And this was just love this phrase that we would see here in verse 12. And then notice what the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Now, a little bit of backdrop here, okay? When you read this, you know, Gideon was in hiding, threshing this grain, okay? Gideon was not a valiant warrior, a lone farmer threshing grain by himself out of the midst of everybody so he wouldn't be seen by the Midianites. This is not your picture of a valiant warrior. Trust me on this. And in fact, every Bible commentator will make that note that Gideon here is a man that is completely lacking confidence. Gideon is a man that is completely worried and concerned about the Midianites and the fact that they would come and steal and take his stuff, that he's doing everything possible to hide from them, to be in secret here, and to not be allowing this to happen to himself, okay? So Gideon is far from a valiant warrior. But what's so incredible to me, what does God do? What does the Lord do when he intrudes and he calls to something more? He calls to something more. He says, "Gideon, O valiant warrior, O mighty man of God." You see what happens here? The Lord doesn't call Gideon what he is doing, but rather he calls Gideon to what he is to become. The Lord looks to Gideon, and he recognizes how he will use Gideon. John chapter 1, verse 42, the same thing with Simon. Remember when Jesus talked to Simon? He says, "Your name will no longer be Simon, but it'll be Cephas," or Peter, which means what? Rock. Was Peter a rock throughout his ministry? No, Peter was far from a rock. And yet, after the death of Jesus, Peter was one of the leaders of the early church and one of the most powerful men of faith we would know in the scripture. So you see, the Lord is looking at what we would become. That's a word of hope for us today, dear friends. That as God looks at Gideon, a man lacking confidence, lacking peace, lacking all kinds of things, the Lord doesn't call him for what he was, he calls him for what he will become. And I think that's a good encouragement for us today, dear friends, that we would recognize that and that we would know that. Now, notice though what happens. How does Gideon respond to that? "Oh, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." And then verse 13, I love this. "Then Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has this happened to us? Where are the miracles? Why did the Lord bring us out of Egypt? Why has the Lord abandoned and given us into the hand of Midian?'" What does Gideon do? Gideon begins really to find fault with God. I think that's so interesting. God calls Gideon, says, "Gideon, you are a valiant warrior. The Lord is with you." And the first thing Gideon does is questions God. And he begins to fault God and blame God for what's happening. Now, something really important is to see here today, dear friends, is that we make that same mistake all the time. The people were living in oppression. And could God have released them from that? Most certainly, right? I mean, God can do anything. But what happened here is Gideon, and I believe the people, misunderstood God's power and God's will. They misunderstood the fact that because God was having them in this captivity, that God wasn't powerful enough to remove them from it. And what they missed was this. Why were the people in captivity, or why were they being oppressed by the Midianites? They weren't in captivity so much. Why were they being oppressed by the Midianites? Because they disobeyed. Because they had fallen away from the one true God. They had worshipped idols. They had turned away from the Lord. And what happened here, you see, is that the people's sin is what caused this concern on behalf of God to allow the Midianites to come and punish them. And we do that all the time, don't we? We try to excuse away our sin. And we try to blame it on God. Don't let that happen today. There are oftentimes things in our life that come to us because of our own sin. And that's what happened to the people. And we need to understand and we need to know that today, that we're not able to be a people that excuse that away, that we are not able to be a people that just blame God and find fault in God for what's happening. We need to be careful with that, because that's the fatal error that Gideon was trying to make here, this protest. And then I think also what's interesting as we look through this text is that God never does respond to that question, why is this happening? You ever notice that? And in fact, oftentimes in Scripture, we cry out to God, why? Job did that too, remember? And yet, there's no answer forthcoming. I find that intriguing. And I find it intriguing, especially in this text, when Gideon says, why has this happened to us? God doesn't refer to that. And I believe part of that reason is this, is that God is not calling Gideon or the people back to reflect upon their error and to reflect upon their sin and to reflect upon their messing up. But rather, God is encouraging them to look to their future. Again, to look ahead to what's going to happen and how God is going to work. And dear friends, I think there's a tendency in all of us that when we look back at our failings. We look back at the things we could have done better. And Satan loves that, by the way, because he will use your failings and your past errors or whatever case that is, he will use that and he will squeeze that for every bit of worth that he can, making you feel worthless, making you feel full of angst and concern. And you know what, dear friends? God's concern, again, is not so much for your past as it is for your present and your future. And we would see that in the story of Gideon. So please, dear friends, recognize that today, that God always, always, always calls us forward, never back. God calls us forward, never back. Satan calls us back, but not God. And then observe what happens as we think about this, how the Lord calls us to something more. I love this phrase in verse 14. It says, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? That awesome or what? Here comes the Lord, and he declares to Gideon, despite the fact of what you're doing now and the error of your people and the fact that you're lacking confidence, lacking peace, all this stuff, what's God say? He said, go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? So what's God do? God essentially commissions and sends Gideon. And what I find remarkable about that is how closely related this idea of the Lord looking at him and sending him go. There's a connection between the Lord's looking and the Lord's sending. And I want us to observe today that so often in our lives, as the Lord looks upon us, he is sending us. Our Christian faith is not a walk of lethargy and a walk of apathy. Most often, God is sending us. He is pushing us even beyond our comfort zone, doesn't he? But that's what God does. And I want us to observe here that just as God called Moses to go and to lead the people from Egypt, so too he is calling Gideon to go and to lead the people forward from the hands of the Midianites. And dear friends, I want us to observe that close connection between God looking and God sending. And sadly, I think oftentimes people feel that they're sent without God looking to them, you know? I think they go together. The idea that as God looks, God also sends. And we are grateful for that, because in the sense of all this, then what do we see? The Lord calls us to something more. Okay? So the Lord intrudes at any time. That's truth one. Truth number two, the Lord calls us to something more. And then lastly, notice what it says here. The Lord assures of his care. Okay. So now I'll go back verse 12 and verse 14. Notice how God leads here. God assures Gideon of his care. First of all, he promises Gideon his presence. Verse 12, the Lord is with you. And then notice in verse 14, the Lord says, have I not sent you? Okay. And then notice in verse 16, surely I will be with you and you will defeat Midian as one man. So what's the Lord doing here? The Lord is assuring Gideon of his care. The Lord leads with his care. He's saying, Gideon, I'm not sending you alone. I'm going with you. I am going to accompany you. I am going to strengthen you. My presence is with you even now. And that's a promise that God makes as he looks upon us and he calls us to go, that we don't go in our own strength. Now, what does Gideon do, though? And again, this is why I like Gideon so much, because how many of us have played this game with God? How many of us have sensed God calling us to do something, and then we make excuses? We're so Gideon, aren't we? Verse 15, he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. So what's Gideon do? Just like Moses, just like all of us, what's he do? He makes an excuse. He says, Lord, I'm too weak. Weak family, weak background, I'm a nothing. And isn't that true? Don't we do that? All of us are guilty of that. And yet, how does the Lord respond? Again, how does the Lord respond? Go with me to verse 16. I love verse 16. You should highlight this in your Bible. I have it in mine. I love this. It says, but the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. Wow. This horde of enemies that are going to be facing Israel. What's God say? He says, I will go with you, and you will defeat Midian as one man. Now, in Gideon's excuse, there is a truth. And the truth is this, that apart from God, we can do nothing. Okay? I think we need to recognize that. So Gideon was kind of right in his excuse because he said, I am least, I can't do this. And there's a truth in that, that apart from God, we can't do anything. And I think we need to recognize that there is no skill, there is no wherewithal, there is no quality or characteristic that apart from God can be successful, especially in God's work. So if we call forth a success and a desire to be faithful in God's work, what do we need? We need God, and we need his presence, we need the Lord. And that's exactly what Gideon was promised. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. And what the Lord is promising here is this, that the power of this valiant warrior is not going to come from the man, okay? Gideon is not going to become that valiant warrior of his own accord. But the valiant warrior Gideon is going to arise from the God at work in the man. You see the difference there? The valiant warrior isn't a result of the man. But the valiant warrior is a result of the God working in the man. That's the difference here. And the Lord says, as if one man, when the Lord is on your side, that is the great equalizer, dear friends. There is no foe that has a chance when the Lord is on your side. And that's what verse 16 declares. That there is no way, there is no chance, and there is nothing that can overcome Gideon as he goes in the Lord and in his leading. And I believe that we need to recognize that. We need to see that today all the more. That as we go with the Lord indeed grants success. And this warrior is made not from the man, but rather the warrior is made from the God working in the man. And what a wonderful truth that we would see in that. And what a wonderful hope that we have, even as we would consider the Lord working within all of our hearts and all of our lives as well. There's one other item I want to share with it, I think, so intriguing in this text. And this happens a couple times in the text. What does Gideon do? So this theophany happens, and then Gideon in verse 17 says, if I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. And sometimes Gideon gets critiqued for asking for these signs, okay? And we could have a whole sermon just on signs, so forgive me for abbreviating a little bit here. I do think it is of some interest to note that God doesn't rebuke Gideon for asking for a sign. I think that's interesting. I do think it's interesting also that that God obliges Gideon in that sign. But I want to say there's a crucial difference in the spirit of which Gideon asks for that sign. Let me tell you that if I experienced a theophany of God like the burning bush, I would probably say, Lord, pinch me, make sure this is real. I mean, that's what I think Gideon is doing here. Gideon is just confirming that, yes, God, this is you speaking to me. This isn't some other thing or person or anything else. This is you speaking to me. Give to me a sign for that. So what I believe is happening here, Gideon is asking this not from unbelief, but rather from even a weak faith. That's what Gideon is asking from. And I love the image here, and I love the picture, because Gideon, I think, is somewhat skeptical. And being skeptical isn't wrong. Asking questions is not wrong. But being a cynic is. A cynic is someone that no matter what the response is, they'll never believe or never care or never change. A skeptic is one that is able to see the truth and to be able to change one's mind. And I believe Gideon was that way. Gideon asked the Lord, he says, is this you? And God, of course, graciously offered him a sign. and confirm that it was indeed the Lord. And then notice what happens at the very close of our text. Verse 23, the Lord said to him, "Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, "The Lord is Peace." And in the midst of one of the most difficult seasons of Gideon's life, he came to experience the fullness of God's peace. I believe because he trusted in the presence of God and he had confidence in that presence of God. It's interesting, this word, "The Lord is Peace," literally means Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. And it means a confidence that we can have in this life because of the very presence of God. It is a fulfillment, really, of that relationship with God in its fullest measure and the peace that we would have at being at peace with God. And that's the peace that Gideon had. And that's the peace that sustained Gideon throughout his life now as he would go on to deliver Israel from the hands of the Midianites. The Lord, you see, assures us of his care. I'm going to close today by a wonderful account that I think very appropriate this time of year. We just got done with Operation Christmas Child. It's a picture of Faith Russell. She lives in Tennessee. And interesting, you would never know it by the picture there, but she was diagnosed, I think, at the five-month mark when they went into the doctor. She was diagnosed with spina bifida. And in fact, the worst type of spina bifida that a child could have. And sadly, what did the medical doctor say to do? And most babies with spina bifida, this happens, they're aborted. The doctor said, you know, she'll have no quality of life, she'll never walk, she'll never be able to do anything like a normal child, and it's not going to be fair to you or to her older brother Griffin, because you're going to have to care for her as long as she would end up living. And her parents, though, I got this idea of use this story. Their parents, though, in the deepest and darkest valley of time, when they were facing this huge decision, they came back to the truth of God's word. And they recognize that in accordance to God's word, every life is valuable, every life is precious, and nothing is impossible with God. And therefore, they delivered this beautiful, precious baby. It wasn't long before Faith Russell, the young little baby that wasn't ever supposed to even be able to move or walk, was rolling in her bed. It wasn't long before she actually was able to stand up in her crib after some surgeries. And it was literally a miracle of God that this little girl actually began to walk to her doctor's appointments. And mom and dad, of course, were overjoyed and elated. And as faith grew, what did she say? She said, "With faith, nothing is impossible for God." And I love that analogy. And then she became involved with OCC. She said, "I read of these people in Haiti." It was her main love was Haiti. "I read of these people in Haiti that have nothing, and I want to give something back to them because God has promised good to them through me." So she became involved with Operation Christmas Child. Their church had packed, I think, 150 boxes one year. And Faith said, "You know, God, I believe God is calling us to make more boxes." And the pastor said, "How many?" She says, "Let's double it. Let's go 300. And for their small congregation, that was a huge ask. And yet again, with faith, nothing is impossible. Pastor came to the congregation, and guess what happened? They got well over 300 boxes in for OCC. And I love this account because this is a precious little girl that shows to us and her family the confidence that we can have when we trust in the Lord to accomplish his purposes in and through our lives, even in the hardest of times. Confidence in the Lord brings a peace that is certain. Heavenly Father, use now this word in all of our lives. And I thank you for it. And I needed this word this week, oh God. Thank you for that. And I pray now that you would bless us with your peace and with your confidence. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. God's word is indeed powerful and life-giving. If this broadcast has blessed you, would you contact us and let us know? We consider it a privilege to hear from you and to pray for you. If you've received a blessing, would you also give a blessing and ask God to lead you in partnering with us through prayer or with a gift to our radio ministry? Please contact us at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at 605-371-3800, or you can find us on the web at knowingthesavior.org. We are also excited to let our radio listeners know about Shiloh Free Lutheran Church, which is a new church plant in Rapid City, South Dakota. To find out more, please visit shilohfreelutheran.org or call 605-200-2758. We consider it a privilege to bring you the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May our Lord bless you richly this day.